Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Songhai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday. QT and Songhai with you as normal. Hope everyone continues to be safe out there. And I want to jump into things today right away with our guest. He is one of the bright, shining stars here in the Pacific Northwest. He is hashtag Real Talk, Rashad Tyson. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be on with you today.
We're definitely delighted to have you on here. And since it is your first time with us, I'm going to give you our traditional first-timer question. What led to you getting into the business of pro wrestling?
Hey, I think like most of us, we definitely start off as fans, especially at an early age. I think one of my first matches I ever watched was the main event of the first ever SmackDown, that tag match, and you know, all four of the stars involved with that like went on to have Hall of Fame careers. And I don't know, there's always a draw of just watching like The Rock in the ring. I'd say probably some of my biggest inspirations growing up. But yeah, I always wanted to be a wrestler growing up. It's funny because everyone, like, when you're a kid, you have this idea of what you want to do for the rest of your life, you know, like no matter how out of this world it can be. I always wanted to wrestle. Like, I always wanted to be in that ring, be in front of that crowd, put on the best damn show possible. But yeah, I've always wanted to be a wrestler.
And when you decide that's what you want to be, did you have any type of previous background as far as athletics went or drama or anything that was going to somewhat prepare you going into the wrestling industry?
For the most part, I feel like the bits and pieces of everything I've learned in my life kind of helped me establish myself and continue to do what I wanted to do. Growing up, I did a lot of amateur wrestling, folk style and freestyle. That was 7th and 8th grade, even 6th grade, all the way up through high school. Believe it or not, I also played tennis in high school, and I loved playing tennis, loved basketball. I did a lot of athletics growing up, football, basketball, tennis, track and field. When I graduated high school, one of my first shoot jobs was a bartender, and just being able to converse with my guests kind of helped me work a crowd because, you know, there's like a certain script you should stick to when you work in a crowd. And then, like, before I actually broke into the business, I was actually trying to be an actor and a director. So I went to Eastern Washington University and got my degree in film, worked on a couple TV shows and a couple movies over in Spokane. And, before I jumped into the ring, I was all set to move to Hollywood, but it was one thing that led to another. I found out I wasn't as passionate about that as I thought I was. And, you know, when that calling finally hit me for wrestling, I jumped on the bandwagon and never got off.
One of the things you've been known for since you started, of course, is hashtag Real Talk. You've had some other people join, and you've gone out by yourself representing hashtag Real Talk. For the people listening that are curious, can you explain what hashtag Real Talk is and what your mission statement is?
Hey, hashtag Real Talk, more than a logo, it's a lifestyle. It's more than a hashtag, it's a brand, it's a dynasty. Something that's been dear to my heart for a very long time, you know. The mantras and the phrase, Real Talk, we don't try to say or pretend to be anything that we're not. Always keep it 100. Always say what's on your mind. You know, speak your truth. And I've always lived by that philosophy of dropping truth bombs whenever I can. That being said, as far as the crowd goes when they perceive us, I want them to know that I am the greatest millennial to ever live, the perennial millennial, if I may get into that myself. There's not a lot that I could say that we do without having to be in a ring and getting in my zone, feeling myself. But for the most part, though, what I want the people out there to realize is, you know, hashtag real talk, we ain't here to play games. Doesn't matter if it's just me, doesn't matter if it's the whole crew, but, you know, I don't care if people boo me or cheer me, just as long as I can hear them, because that's all real talk's about. You know, we want to move the crowd, we want to, you know, entertain as much as we possibly can, but at the end of the day, we stick to our goals, we stick to what we say, and we stick to what we do.
Now, you wrestle on a regular basis for combat pro wrestling up in Marysville, Washington. There's been people kind of in and out of hashtag real talk. At one point, there were several members of it. Of course, things with the pandemic has put live events on hold. But what is the current status of the CPW branch of hashtag real talk?
You know, I've had a lot of people ask me that recently. We're still alive and thriving. I know there's been some talks of animosity within the group, but, you know, that comes with the haters. People want to say whatever they want to say about us. That means we're doing our job. We're being successful. As far as, like, what the status of our group is, we're alive and kicking it, you know. I was just kicking it with the Real Talk Boys earlier this week. We had ourselves a little group powwow session. You know, I'm a very firm believer, a group that trains together stays together. And I've been very fortunate to be able to train with my boys during these troubling times. But as far as CPW is concerned, trust me, we will be in full force when all things come back. I know the roster is probably going to be a little different when it comes to who's in the group and who's not. But as far as I'm concerned, everyone who was in is still in. Anyone who wants to be in, we're always accepting applications. And as far as, you know, the followers, they follow us like Twitter. That's all Real Talk's about.
Now, you have been in quite a few tag matches in the last few months, in addition to singles matches. I know you've been in quite a few tag matches at CPW with a few different partners. Do you have a personal preference when it comes to tag team wrestling versus singles wrestling?
I think it definitely depends on who my partner is, or whatever the story entails. Honestly, I could go either or. I've always wanted to branch out as a tag team. I love tag team wrestling. Growing up, you know, watching the Hardys, Edge and Christian, the Dudleys, like that always drew me to wanting to do that when I had the opportunity. You know, and vicariously, I try to live that through the Real Talk Boys. You know, whether it's like TNT, Tien Lee, Tomcat Jones, the affiliate Dre Quan, you know, Slade Stone, or, you know, the Muscle Joe Macho. I'm hoping that I can tag with one of them eventually. You know, whatever happens down the road happens down the road. But as far as, like, what I prefer, singles versus tag, man, you can't beat being on your own, though. And, you know, depending on where you go, not every promotion has the opportunity to book you as a team, you know. So if you can be that singles wrestler that they need, to me, like, that checks more marks than anything else. You know, but, like, if I had to choose between singles or tag, I probably want to do more tag matches. But as far as staying in my own lane, I've always been a singles guy.
You had a match not that long ago, and you teamed with the Bollywood version of hashtag Real Talk. That seemed a little bit less than successful when you wrestled Pizza Party in that particular match. It seemed like maybe your partner was on a different page than you. Can you tell us what went down when you incorporated Bollywood into the mix?
You know, I'm definitely going to have to revisit that one of these days, because that chapter has not been closed, in my opinion. We were just on different wavelengths. I have nothing against my partner, but as far as do I want some explanation of, you know, why he walked out on me when we faced Rysik and Dubashi, hell yeah, I want some explanation on that one of these days. But as far as, like, you know, our chemistry against Pizza Party, let me, like, first off, Pizza Party is not an easy monster to clash with, you know. They're some big dudes, and they hit hard, and they are very ring savvy for their size. With that being said, I had to put in some extra OT to make sure that, you know, we walked out with a W. And as far as, like, my tag team partner at the time during that event, you know, we just didn't mesh very well, you know. There's a difference between wanting to, you know, chase the clout and being there in person. You want to stand in front of the crowd and have them adore you, but you don't want to put in the work of, you know, putting in some work. So with that being said, you know, I got to revisit that one of these days. I'm glad you brought that up, actually. Like, that's bringing up some ill feelings that I still have towards that specific event. I got nothing against my tag partner personally, but professionally, if I ever run into Mr. Ortiz once again, he's got some explaining to do for me, for sure.
Hopefully, the triad ownership at CPW, Jeff, Yvonne, and Sedge, will bring him in so you can kind of settle that score.
No, definitely. Oh. And, you know, like, it's kind of that triad ownership. I'm still Team Yvonne till day one-ish, you know, till day forever. Let me just throw that out there.
Now, in addition to settling that score, it has been already announced that when live shows resume, you have a match for the CPW Cruiserweight title currently held by Chris Brady, and that is going to be contested under ladder match rules. How exciting is it that you get in there with the Cruiserweight champ in a ladder match as soon as we get to have live matches again?
Let me tell you, this has been on my mind all shutdown, all lockdown, all quarantine. I've been thinking about this match. And I'm not going to take anything away from Chris Brady. He is one of the most talented athletes we have on the CPW roster. But as far as who's walking out with that W, it's going to be me. Like, no offense to Chris Brady, he's rewriting this narrative. I've said it already. I don't care if you boo me or cheer me. As long as I can hear you, that's all I worry about. Chris Brady is already going out trying to expand his circle, trying to branch out and see what we can do. And see, as far as me expanding my Real Talk empire, you know, I do that within the confines of wherever I'm at. Whoever I'm bringing up, I'm going to bring up everyone around me. That's why I got the Real Talk boys. Chris Brady wants to go out and chase the next big thing. That's where he and I draw the difference. Now, see, as far as Chris Brady being, in, like, a worthy opponent, of course he is. I don't know if he takes me too seriously, but he's going to have to pretty soon. You know, I know that Chris Brady's putting in the work. He's not lazy. He's a champion who knows very well what it's going to take to hold on to that belt. But as far as where his priorities are at, I don't think they're all on holding on to that belt as much as everyone thinks they are. I think Chris definitely thinks he's going to hold on to that belt, but I know I'm going to walk out with that belt. I know that when the day comes for that match, I'm going to make sure that crowd is as loud as they possibly can. I'm going to make sure that ladder is as high as it possibly is, and I'm going to climb each step to grab that ladder and expand the hashtag Real Talk Empire. That's all I'm about. Now, again, Chris Brady, I got nothing against him. Hell of a competitor, hell of an athlete. But as far as this narrative that he himself is writing, I'm walking out with that belt. That's just it. It is what it is. And again, you know, that's Real Talk.
Now, Chris Brady is someone that has not been in this area for very long. He came here late last year from the Las Vegas area, so he's still relatively new to the Pacific Northwest. Immediately got the Cruiserweight Championship at CPW. He was immediately put into the title picture
in the main event scene at Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland, Oregon. But we still don't know a ton about his background, still don't know necessarily exactly what he's all about. What have you been doing to kind of prepare and learn about Chris Brady so you're as ready as can be when the time comes?
Well, I mean, obviously I've been taking Chris Brady extremely seriously. I mean, he is wrestling's greatest attraction. So I've been doing things that, you know, an attraction would do to prepare him. I've been learning how to juggle. I've been learning how to breathe fire. I've been learning how to tame lions. That's what I'm doing to prepare for wrestling's greatest attraction, Chris Brady.
Now, one other promotion that you've recently hit is Power Pit Pro Wrestling down in Roseburg, Oregon, which is far. You went down there and you had a bit of a confrontation with Big Vicious, a veteran here in the Pacific Northwest. What was your experience like at Power Pit Pro?
That crowd is one of the most electric crowds I've ever been in. That promoter is one of the best promoters I've ever been able to work under. That locker room is one of the coolest locker rooms I've ever been in. That being said, Big Vicious is also one of the biggest people I've ever been in the ring with. He hits hard. He's a lot smarter than people probably give him credit for, but go figure, he's big. But as far as going down to Power Pit, like, when things get back to normal, that's one of the first places on my list to revisit. I had such an awesome experience down there. The crowd is electric. Again, like, you can't ask for any better crowd in the world. As far as, like, Big Vicious, though, I got some unsettled business with him. He's a big guy. Definitely gave me a run for my money. You know, I didn't walk out with a W that night, but I'm definitely hoping I do the next time around. And I know that the tag titles down there are going to be up for grabs, so, you know, let's hopefully I can find myself a partner to team with to chase after those. You know, maybe an appearance by Darth Carta, to see what happens.
Wow, you want to team with that idiot Darth Carta?
You know, he's got a good head on his shoulders. I ran into him in the Rumble last time I was down at Power Pit Pro, and he actually might have a score to settle with Big Vicious himself too. So, you know, maybe we can get on the same page about that.
A long history with Big Vicious, from what I know. Now, hopefully, you don't get hit in the crosshairs, because I know for a fact there is a bounty to put Darth Carta out of wrestling, and I know this because I'm supplying the money. I'm the one that put out the bounty. I hate that guy.
Oh. Well, if that's the case, you know, the Real Talk Empire definitely loves the donations as far as chasing bounties, so maybe you can give me a little info on that later down the road.
I will definitely give you the information on that, and if you were to take him out, end his career, you'd have like $5 headed your way.
Ooh, that's enough for a T-shirt, in my opinion.
Yeah, it at least gets you a coffee.
Oh, I don't drink coffee, bro. I'm all about that Miami Cola.
Well, then I would drink the coffee for you, and you could use the leftover for one of your Miami Colas.
All right, that's fair enough. Deal. Sounds like a deal.
All right. Now, of course, with the current events happening, we've not gotten into live events here in the Pacific Northwest yet. A lot of areas are just baby stepping into the first few live shows going out in front of fans. But one of the things that a lot of wrestlers have done during the time off is update their gear, try to get new gear, try to get new boots, change up their look a little bit. What's your gear situation looking like as far as what you're going to bring to the table when we resume?
Well, right now, me and the boys are trying to work over a new hashtag Real Talk logo. It's going to start there, and then we're going to expand forward from there. As far as gear, I got, like, so many different options that I haven't even opened yet, you know. As far as from my, like, sponsors, from people who've supported me since day one, you know, I got a lot of different gear to choose from, gear that's never been opened. The only thing that's really on my, I guess, Christmas wish list is a brand new pair of boots. That's about it. But as far as gear goes, the Real Talk merch table is always supplying some of that best Real Talk merch, so definitely check that out when we get back to normal.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know that he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass you over to QT for a bit.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Mr. Real Talk.
Hello, Mr. QT. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Keeping in mind that we are on about our 1,420th episode on the show.
Ooh.
We're seasoned veterans. Yes. Okay. Well, Mr. Real Talk, I saw your YouTube video called Episode 18, Pizza Party Throwdown. Sign Guy meant a little bit about this earlier. And this was a CPW match that took place right before the shutdown. My first question is, had you ever been in a match with Pizza Party before, or was this your inaugural match, Pizza Party match?
That was definitely my inaugural Pizza Party match. So like I said earlier, they are a hard-hitting tag team and one of the best tag teams CPW has to offer. That was a great opportunity, though. I would not mind stepping back in the ring with them again.
Can you recall who the referee in this match was? She was a lady with long black hair.
Yes, that was Miss Jamie Smiles, one of the best referees in the Pacific Northwest. Let me tell you, I've always felt so safe when she's in the ring. I love when she refs. Hopefully, when things get back to normal, she can ref one of my matches again.
What would you say are the top three qualities that a well-seasoned and well-liked referee who knows what to do in the ring, what are the top three qualities that a referee must have?
Definitely ring awareness. Definitely this idea of where a big move is going to take place. And then also just looking out for the whoever's in the ring. I know those are kind of bleed into each other, but as far as like being like a well-rounded referee, there's definitely this idea of like being just as aware of what's in the ring and where spots are happening in the ring as the wrestlers are. I'd also think like a level of conditioning goes with it too. Like I've been under those bright lights for maybe 10 minutes to like an hour before, and I was just out of it afterwards. I can only imagine doing that back-to-back-to-back-to-back as a referee. So I applaud any referee that can do that, though, for sure.
Well, now, Sign Guy mentioned a mysterious Northwest wrestler, Darth Carter, that saw action in Roseburg, Oregon. And I myself have seen Darth Carter in Bremerton, Washington. Now, every wrestler has a point where they hang up the boots. Some of them go into wrestling commentary. Some of them, although it's maybe not as prevalent, they go into referees. Have you yourself seen this mysterious Darth Carter in action?
Oh, yes, I most definitely have. I've actually shared a ring with him. Last time I was at Power Pit Pro down in Oregon, he and I were some of the first entrants in the King of Hearts Rumble, where they crowned the first champion down there. Let me tell you, though, that guy has a mean jab, and I know that Big Vicious was taking the blunt of that, but I know he felt it.
Well, as I said, you know, sometimes after their career is over, they go into commentary. When Darth Carter's career is over, do you think he'd make a good referee?
Oh, absolutely. But you know where I think most of his time and effort should be spent? I know that Xavier Woods has his own aspirations for when he retires. He wants to get into video games. Maybe Darth Carter can go into something like that, something that involves media. You know, I can imagine a Darth Carter movie franchise that would definitely blow up if he were to get behind the reins of that. You know, I'm not saying refereeing is within his future, but, you know, expand the portfolio.
Okay, very good. Okay. Well, Rashad, are there any truth to the rumors that you once disguised yourself as Northwest icon J.P. Patches and positioned yourself in the crowd in Marysville, Washington to grab a ding-dong that was thrown by Pizza Party? Did you disguise yourself?
Oh, man, I can't say that that was me. That's definitely news to my ears, though. Last time, if I remember correctly for that was during a Halloween Battle Royal, if I'm correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I was definitely in that Battle Royal. Matter of fact, I was one of the last people eliminated in that Battle Royal, so I can't say that I remember that, to be perfectly honest, but I will confirm the rumors that it was not me.
Oh, okay. All right, when I do say J.P. Patches, do you know who I'm talking about?
I don't, unfortunately, I don't, but maybe you can fill me in.
Well, now you see I'm showing my age here a little bit. J.P. Patches was a beloved clown on TV during the 60s and 70s. He lived in the Seattle city dump, and he and Gertrude and Ketchikan the Animal Man showed cartoons to kids on TV. They were called the Patches Pals.
Oh, wow. I've never heard of this. What? I need to look this up.
Well, J.P. Patches was known. He came from Minnesota originally, and he was a clown that had some pretty nice hats, and he had a vest or a trench coat that was festooned with patches and buttons. And he and Gertrude would entertain the kids with cartoons and hijinks. They had a very good camera crew that loved to mess with J.P. Patches sometimes. But he was like Ramblin' Rod of the 1960s. Picture Krusty the Clown and his cartoon before the kids. That Matt Groening was inspired a little bit by J.P. Patches of the 1960s and 70s. J.P. Patches.
Very cool, very cool. I'm looking up some pictures right now online. I might have to get behind some of his makeup for Halloween. Got a new costume.
Yes, a new it's one of my fondest wishes that you, Rashad, will someday have a J.P. Patches show where you can show cartoons to kids. It'd be great.
You know, I've always wanted to do that, honestly. One of my tag team partners, Tomcat Jones, he and I have been talking about starting a Wrestling Academy cartoon show. So, you know, that would definitely be a great idea, though, to add some to pay some homage to J.P. Patches during that.
Well, you know, Rashad, one of the people that was like the arch enemy of J.P. Patches was Boris S. Wart, the seventh meanest man in the world, and he was always out to take over the J.P. Patches show. Maybe you can work with Darth Carter for him to become a Boris S. Wart, Darth Carter.
Oh, Darth Carter don't want the smoke like that, but if Darth Carter wants to become like an arch enemy to the Real Talk Empire, hey, our primetime TV show might have an extra couple minutes for that, for sure.
Yeah, okay. Well, Rashad, I'm sure after we hang up that if you look up the J.P. Patches Christmas special, that you'll get a better understanding of this Northwest icon who brought joy into the lives of thousands of Seattleites.
Oh, I'm definitely going to look it up, though, for sure.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, Rashad, speaking of Pizza Party, if you ordered a pizza but were limited to only the choice of two toppings, what two toppings would be your most likely choice?
Ooh. You know, I'll be honest with you, I don't really eat a lot of pizza, too many carbs for me. But if I had to, probably pepperoni and sausage. That way I could at least get my protein in.
Okay, very nice choice. Would that be Italian sausage?
Ooh, that probably would be. And matter of fact, too, I'd probably switch it up. I'd get one of those, like, Chicago-style pizzas where, like, all the toppings are inside. That way it'd be, like, a little easier to eat, too.
Oh, okay. I always wondered what Chicago-style pizza was versus New York.
I always thought New York was like the really thick crust stuff. I've never been to New York, so I couldn't tell you from experience, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. I'm going to mark down pepperoni and sausage as your two topping choice. Okay. What if you had a choice of three toppings? What would they most likely be, keeping in mind that the rock group Rush was a three-piece band and they packed a punch? What would your three toppings be?
Ooh, you know, I'd probably have to pick some toppings that packed an equal punch. I'd go jalapenos, pineapples, and, you know, just to throw it up a little interesting, cashews.
Wow, mostly vegetarian there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beginning
to
see a pattern.
I switch it up too and get like the Alfredo sauce too. That way we don't have to run a marinara.
Oh, okay, an Alfredo. Okay, all right. Now we're going to say four toppings. What would be your main choices? Four toppings.
Four toppings. Ooh, you know, I'm going to switch it up again. I've got to switch it up again. I'd probably go another veggie supreme, except I'd probably stick with like peppers, onions, olives, and mushrooms. That's perfect, actually. Yeah, green peppers, olives, mushrooms. And
okay.
I got one more, don't I? Onions, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, peppers and onions are a very good combo. Okay, very nice. Okay. All right. Well, Rashad, at that 208 mark of that episode 18 Pizza Party Throwdown, you can see a star or starfish on your right upper back. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what this tattoo is about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I have two nautical stars on my back. My father was in the Navy. My mother was also worked for the Navy through a third party. So those are kind of dedicated to them and their service. I've always been like consider myself a Navy brat. If it wasn't for the Navy, I wouldn't even be in the U.S. right now. So that being said, though, like those two tattoos are specifically dedicated to my parents. They're just nautical stars. I need to get them colored in those. Still waiting on some time for that. It's been a busy schedule.
Okay, was your dad an officer or an enlisted man?
Enlisted man. Retired after 20 years, though. So he put in his time. But we've been all over the world, though. When I was born, in Japan. My brother was born in the Philippines. We moved to the U.S. in 2001, I believe, and then we lived in Washington ever since. So, I mean, like, as far as what my tattoos are connected to, though, like, it'll always be a connection to my father and my mother being affiliated with the Navy.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, was your father on an aircraft carrier? Or a cruiser?
I believe it was a carrier. I know for sure he was on the Carl Vincent down in San Diego for some time while we were stationed up on Whidbey. We've been all over the place. Mainly landlocked bases. I don't want to say too landlocked. We were in Lemoore for a while. Bounced back and forth between Guam and Bremerton area. So we've definitely been all over the place. I wouldn't say he himself was on a carrier for his entire career, but I know for sure he was on at least the Carl Vinson. NAS Whidbey, I believe, just has planes out there. So he was an aviation mechanic, and that's why we got stationed at Whidbey.
Wow. All right. The Carl Vinson, one of the American class carriers that is 1,100 feet in length. Rashad, did you know that the aircraft carrier Intrepid was hit by two kamikazes in World War II, and it survived these two kamikaze hits? At any time in your professional wrestling career, did you think about calling yourself the Divine Wind, which is what kamikaze is translated into, the Divine Wind?
No, but that sounds like a cool finisher now. Oh, man, you're giving me some ideas for a new moveset.
Oh, okay. Yes, you might look up. There's actual footage on YouTube of kamikazes attacking World War II ships. You might want to look that up in addition to JP Patches.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. All right. Well, now, Rashad, speaking of Japan, Ron Von Hess has traveled to Japan and has had several matches in Japan. Is Japan on your future radar to wrestle in, like Ron Von Hess?
Absolutely. One of my coaches from a while ago, actually both my coaches, Dave Turner and Chris Ross, they both gave me a list of qualities that the dojos out there look for you to be able to do when you train out there. And I looked at that list, and I know it was a lot, but I know I could do it. With that being said, though, like, Japan will always be on my list of places I want to compete at. I know that crowd out there, just from what I've seen from, like, New Japan, is just, you know, very happy for the entertainment of what they see, and, like, appreciative. Not saying that the American crowds aren't either, but I just know it's, like, a different feeling over there. I would definitely love to be in that dojo system at some point, too, just to get some more training as well, too.
Well, Rashad, have you ever seen the movie Napoleon Dynamite?
Oh, absolutely. That was like my childhood.
Do you think you could have done as well as Napoleon and Kip in the Rex Kwan Dojo? Could you have survived that?
I don't know. You know what? For the lack of a better term, I'm going to say absolutely. Would it have been a whole different training experience? You betcha. But I'm confident in my skills. I would have been able to survive that. I don't know about taking a football space, though. That might be too much for me.
I could just see that sensei. Bow to your sensei. Bow to your sensei. Okay. Now grab my wrist, Rashad. Grab the wrist. Okay, now kick me in the jimmies.
Yes. I'd probably put my own little real talk flavor on it, but I think I could probably pull it off, though.
Okay. All right. Well, Rashad, in that YouTube video pizza party throwdown, I was very excited to see a dance-off between the wrestlers. In your opinion, did Snack the Jack win the dance-off when he did the worm?
Oh, man. You know, I think the real winners of that dance battle was the crowd. But as far as, like, who won within the ring, I won the ring. You know, I may have fell over, but, man, Jack the Snack's worm for sure might have popped the crowd a little bit more. But I'm going to go with I won. But let me tell you right now, if we do some sort of rematch, especially like a dance party rematch, I think Jack might have me. Same thing with TJ. TJ got some moves, too. Everyone in that match had moves. I just stick with what I know, and that's my Fortnite dances.
Do you think the Northwest wrestling crowd will someday see a dance-off between you, Rashad, and ring announcer Dimitri? Is there a possibility?
I hope so. Man, Dimitri might have me on that, though, too. I don't have a lot of rhythm. I just know what I can do. I don't know what Dimitri's capable of, but he definitely looks like he's got some moves that he's been saving up for, too. And let me tell you, that crowd is going to be so stoked if they ever see that. Like, I'm confident in my abilities, but Dimitri might beat me.
Yeah, I have heard from my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, that Dimitri has 70% of the capability of Fred Astaire. That's what I've heard.
That's still a lot more than what I have, though.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Rashad, you mentioned to Sign Guy that you studied film at Eastern Washington University. Were you a big fan of Rob Zombie's movie, The Devil Rejects?
Absolutely. And House of a Thousand Corpses. Wasn't really too big of a fan of Three from Hell. But I think just circumstances behind that movie made it what it was. Yeah, I love The Devil's Rejects, though. Like, if I could ever do some one of those, like, gimmicks like that and have it be tasteful, I'd be all for it.
Okay. Well, Rashad, at the 4 minute and 13 second mark of the match, you ran across the ring and gave Jack the Snack a modified Stinger Splash. My first question is, were you a big fan of Sting growing up?
I just had a conversation with my mermaid about this. No, I was not. I was a Goldberg fan, and I was very anti-Sting because of Goldberg. Goldberg is the greatest wrestler to ever lace up a pair of boots for WCW, and I stand by that to this day. I'm all about Goldberg. Give me more Goldberg. But I still respect everything Sting has done in the business, but during those days, though, I was all Team Goldberg.
Wow. All right. Goldberg, Mark. Okay. 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 Well, Rashad, when you did do that modified Stinger Splash to Snack the Jack, was it like falling into a vertical high jump pit?
I would say it was more of a just trying to, you know, those long jumps that they have in track and field where you have to, like, jump across the bar into the sand? Kind of reminded me of that because, like, I had to, like, clear Jack and then go through that top between the top and the middle rope to make sure I land on my feet on the apron. Luckily, Jack's girthy enough for where I, as soon as I hit him, I could, like, land on my feet, so it kind of worked out just fine.
Yes, you went through that middle rope and landed on the apron, and then at the 423 mark, you suddenly jumped right before that, when you landed on the apron, you hopped up on the top turnbuckle, and you took off from the top turnbuckle and came down with a double axe handle to Snack the Jack. Yes.
Yes, I did.
And you landed about halfway across the ring after connecting with that axe handle, which makes me ask the question, did you turn out for the long jump in high school?
I did. Unfortunately, there were a lot better athletes at the time, so I didn't qualify for that moving forward. But I did at least attempt it. At least in middle school, I attempted it. At high school was a whole other monster. There was a lot of other athletes out there, and I knew what I was good at. But it definitely brings up dreams of doing that all over again.
Oh, okay, because usually the best high schoolers every year jump around 24 feet to maybe 24 and a half feet. It's quite spectacular at that age in the long jump, 24 feet. To lead the nation. Yes. In fact, one high schooler down in Texas, this was about 2 years ago, he ran a 10.2 100 meters and long jumped 25 feet, 5 inches. This boy was quick, 25.5 and 10.2 in the 100 meters. Yes.
Give that boy a scholarship for sure.
Oh, he's on a scholarship all right. Yes. Yes. And I think he would have been up for the Olympic trials while still in high school, but that didn't happen because of COVID-19. Yes. Okay. All right.
Well, COVID Richard, is definitely
– oh, good. Oh, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I butted in.
Oh, you're good. I was like, COVID definitely put a lot of stuff on pause.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it did. Okay. Well, Richard, you talked about wrestling Big Vicious in Roseburg, Oregon. Are you aware of another wrestler in the Northwest, the big man known as Exile? Have you ever studied film of Exile?
I've heard the name. I can't say that I've seen anything from Exile yet.
Okay. Okay. That's something that you might want to research. I saw several very good matches with Exile when I first got into wrestling in the Northwest, the man known as Exile. Yes. Okay. Well, Rashad, can you tell us about some of your injuries that you've had? Have you had any toe or finger injury?
This is actually my second stint coming back to wrestling. I wrestled almost exclusively in Spokane in 2017. The early part of 2018, and then I blew out my Achilles around then, and I took like a year off. So then when I came back this last year, coming back from that injury was just so hard, honestly. And I didn't get surgery. I just had really aggressive therapy, like 4 or 5 times a week. Did everything I possibly could to make sure that when I get back in the ring, I'm limber. My feet don't, or my foot doesn't go out of me again. But yeah, that was kind of one of the scarier injuries I think I've ever had. Other than that, though, it's always like the little nagging injuries after a match. You know, being sore, trying to make sure your fingers are all still in place, trying to make sure that when you get back in the locker room, you know, your joints aren't wobbly or they don't give out on you. And I know that everyone always thinks about the physical injuries, bones and muscles and tears. I think people don't think enough about the the emotional toll that you go through, or the mental toll, driving up and down show after show every weekend, and then still trying to make some sort of money throughout the week. But yeah, as far as injuries are concerned, though, my Achilles was probably the only one that really kind of gave me any grievance to where I don't know if I could do this again. But I'm glad I got past it. I got to rework a lot of stuff with my gimmick and a lot of stuff with my promoters and the different crowds I went to. And it's just nice to not have to worry about my Achilles right now, or hopefully ever again. Fingers crossed.
Wow. Well, I myself am glad that your Achilles healed, because I want to see that dance-off between you and Dimitri. That's what I want to see.
I promise that will happen one of these days. The first opportunity I get to see Dimitri, we'll put it online, and hopefully you get a look at it.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Now, speaking of Achilles, are you a big fan of Led Zeppelin's song Achilles' Last Stand?
You know, I don't listen to a lot of Led Zeppelin, unfortunately. And one of the Real Talk boys actually called me out the other day because I accidentally mistook Led Zeppelin for Van Halen. I know that's a cardinal sin of the music industry. I have a couple Led Zeppelin songs. Can't say I have a lot of them, but I haven't really heard of Achilles' Last Stand yet, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Well, that's your homework assignment. To one, look up J.P. Patches, and two, listen to Achilles' Last Stand by Led Zeppelin. It's a rockin' good song.
All right.
Okay. And also do some research into Exile.
Oh, definitely. It looks like definitely someone I wouldn't mind stepping in the ring with. I popped Exile on my Google phone, and he's a big dude. So
would not
mind.
Oh, okay. Well, at this time, I'm turning it back over to Sun Guy.
Hey, appreciate you having me on with you. That's probably some of the better questions, some of the best questions I've ever been asked before. So I appreciate that.
Well, we take great pain in asking the existential questions.
hopefully, that I don't suffer from any existential dread afterwards.
Okay, back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Sean, I will say Exile's a very strong human being. I've been in the ring with Exile. He once threw me roughly 50 feet up the aisle.
You know, I know that you yourself have some big W's in the PNW. Last time I remembered, didn't you pin Dave Turner once?
I did pin Dave Turner once, yes.
I know you could take it.
Yeah, I mean, I was fine. He just happened to military press me and throw me up the aisle 50 feet. So I'm just, letting you know to look out for that type of thing.
Hey, I appreciate the heads up.
Well, we have a game on the show we like to play, and I think you are a perfect candidate for this. We call it Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some people you most likely have come in contact with in your career, and the first word or two that pops to mind is the answer. Are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Here we go. J.B. Moonshine.
Speakeasy.
Bad Blood.
Man, that's a good one. I love Bad Blood, too. First, honestly, the first word that comes to mind with Bad Blood, Corona. Ryan, I got to tell you a story about that one of these days.
I will listen to your Bad Blood story. Yvonne Sieber.
Oh. Yvonne, oh, easy. Hashtag Team Yvonne.
You scared me for a second when you said easy.
Oh, no. Hashtag Team Yvonne all day, every day.
All right. J.D. Mason.
Humble. Something he always taught me.
Chris
Brady.
Humble.
Chris Brady. Let me tell you. Circus.
Tomcat Jones.
Ooh, mascot.
Chris Ross.
Dad.
Chris Marx.
Chris Marx. Power Ranger.
Diafula the Butcher Dobashi.
Oh, Listerine.
And the last one, Sonny O'Mara.
Ooh, you know, I know it's one word, but I'm going to give you three. New potential member.
Ah, I think that would be a great fit.
I've actually wanted to work with Sonny for a very long time. And I know he is like a legit badass too, so that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. Well, here in 2020, in the last few months, one of the more popular trends of the promotions still able to run is the cinematic match. We've seen a lot of these pop up because it's a way that promotions can do matches safely and make a use of a different type of setting to try to keep the fans engaged. They've been around for a while, but what are your opinions on the cinematic match?
You know, I'd have to kind of dive into my film background a little bit. So when I joined the film program over in Eastern, they try to harp onto us that, like, you can't cheat live wrestling, or you can't cheat live events. So, like, let's say that, like the NFL season does happen, and then they decide to have, like, like full games with empty crowds. I think that kind of takes away from the magic of watching the event unfold. I have no problem with cinematic matches as long as you can try to keep that magic. I think some cinematic matches aren't able to capture that quality-wise like others do. And I always try to keep in mind, like, you know, this is unique, this is different, this isn't the standard. But at the same time, like, if you feel like something's inauthentic, you know, you can't deny it being, you know, authentic. With that said, though, like, I've enjoyed some of the cinematic matches I've watched, like the Boneyard match at WrestleMania, the Firefly Funhouse match at WrestleMania. You know, I love those a lot. I think that they told a great story. There was some sort of emotional investment in it. But then I think of some other opportunities, like I believe Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa had a cinematic match like that in an empty arena, and it felt very disconnected. I believe that, like, it could for sure get done, but as far as it hasn't been successfully done over and over again, I don't think so. But, yeah, they're interesting, though. I definitely feel like there's, like, a market for it.
One of the other more popular things in wrestling for the last few years is Lucha Libre. The style's gotten a lot more popular here in the United States over the last 15 to 20 years. It's a very, very different style, but we're seeing more lucha-based promotions popping up all over the United States here in the Northwest. Is the lucha libre style of wrestling something that you've been interested in at all?
Absolutely. I think that a lot of the ideas of what people see when they hear lucha is like masked wrestling and like high flying spots. And I got nothing wrong with people thinking that initially. I haven't been exposed to a lot of lucha, and to be perfectly honest, like, when I hear lucha, that's what I think. I think that there is a world past that, and I would love to explore some of that world as well. Like, would I ever want to wrestle in Mexico? Absolutely. Do I want to learn the lucha style? Absolutely. Do I think that I can give Lucha Libre justice? You know, I'm optimistic in my abilities. But as far as lucha, like, I can tell there's a lot of heritage that goes along with what a lot of those wrestlers do. And, you know, I always come to the business with a level of respect for anyone. Doesn't matter what they're doing, where they're at in the card, where they're at in the promotion. And I don't think that, like, I would be able to reinvent that energy that a lot of luchadors bring to the ring with what they've learned and what they do. But again, it's one of those styles I would love to get into and learn, though. Definitely, like, one of my favorite styles to watch visually for, like, the aesthetics of what I see.
Well, we have come down to the last few minutes of the show today. I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you want to say to the listeners, if you want to plug and promote anything and everything, merchandise, social medias, any live events you might know of, your favorite bank, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
No, thank you, thank you. Let me for sure follow me on Twitter at RealTalkVlog. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button on my YouTube page, hashtag RealTalkRashadTyson. You can also find me on Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, and there's one more. Still three on a social media for Real Talk Rashad Tyson. Shout out to all the Real Talk boys, my homie Matt Stone, Matt Slade Stone, Tomcat Jones, TNT, TN Lee, Joe Macho, the affiliate Drake Kwan. Sorry if I missed anyone. Let's see. I mean, like, so I'm just going to throw some love out there real quick. Shout out to all my favorite promotions, BCW, Combat Pro Wrestling, Reactivate Pro Wrestling, 5CC Wrestling, Without a Cause Wrestling. I think that's all the ones I can think of right now off the top of my head. But yeah, dude, I freaking appreciate you having me on the show. This was such a great opportunity. Like, I've been a fan since day one, so please keep doing what you're doing. Like, I had a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
We are glad to have had you here, and I am sure we will do this again in the near future. Best of luck to you as you head into that ladder match against Chris Brady, and continue to be safe out there, and we'll see you soon.
Definitely. You too, you too. And also to all the listeners out there, don't forget to that subscribe button on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Can't forget my boys either. But other than that, though, appreciate you having me on. I can't wait to do this again.
Absolutely. We're definitely going to have you back. Fans, if Real Talk's going to be on a show near you, buy yourself a ticket. Go watch. Rashad's great, great talent. You're going to be impressed with him, so get on the bandwagon early. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have our wrestlers tribute to baseball on Sunday. It's going to be a fascinating show on Sunday. So make sure you join us. We will talk to you soon.
Hashtag Real Talk, signing off.